I am the Edison phonograph, created by the great wizard of the new world, to delight those who have never...
Good evening. This is Admiral.
In our year-long series, Lost and Found Sound, we celebrate the receding sounds and voices of this century. Sometimes our search takes us into arcane corners of American popular history.
Building the bally, turning the tip, doing a jam. These are the tools of sideshow talkers. They don't like the name barkers. This is salesmanship at its most naked. And of course the pitches can be exploitative and demeaning and offensive and fascinating all the same. It's a type of oral presentation that's being lost. So, ladies and gentlemen, here for you this evening on the Lost and Found Soundstage, prepared by purveyors of produced pieces for public radio, Jay Allison and Rachel Day, on the inside, and absolutely free, the art of the carnival talker.
I remember as a kid, about 7 or 8, I was at a sideshow and I saw these banners, giant banners, and said Lobster Boy, and a big round white dot on the bottom, they called the bullet, it said Alive. And I was thinking, Lobster Boy, Alive? And there was Spider Lady, Spidora, the Spider Girl, Alive. And then Johan the Viking Giant, 8'8", dressed like a Viking with a big pointed helmet and wings coming out of the side of it, and said Alive. And I was going nuts. I was saying, Dad, what is this? Can this possibly be? He says, well, let's go and take a look and see.
But just a minute, there's one person I want to bring to your attention, and that is Johan Pettersson, that Viking giant from Iceland. Why, he stands and towers above all mankind. He stands 8 feet, 8 inches tall.
No one wakes up in the morning and said, you know, I'm going to see a sideshow today. This is the goal for the day.
Magician and entertainer Todd Robbins.
And it is in here where you'll see the freaks.
It was that man's job to get people's attention and convince them to part with their hard-earned money and come in and see the show.
And they're all alive. They're all living on public exhibition here today.
Well, there's a structure to it. Everyone thinks it's kind of, when you listen to it, it seems kind of random, but it moves from thing to thing to thing. So you get their attention, you get them excited about seeing what you're selling, and then you do things to get them into the tent. And it's basically, there are 5 things that a talker does. You build the tip, you freeze the tip, you do an opening, which is the sales pitch, you then jam, which means to give them an offer, such as for a limited time, and then while people are lined up and getting their tickets, you do a grind. This keeps the excitement going, and that's just a continuation of the opening, the spiel, just to keep things moving along.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to feed her exactly as you would see her in her own native land, Abyssinia, in the north of Africa.
Well, the idea is that there's something special going on in this place, this special place.
On this very performance, I'm going to throw deep into that steel bond enclosure, that live chicken you see me there now holding.
Now's your chance to go and get in there and be privy to the secret world.
You're going to then see a most amazing change come over the old woman.
Because I think everyone likes that. I mean, that's really what documentaries are all about, when they show you these places you've never been to.
The eyes will dilate, the pupils glow just like 2 red-hot coals of fire. She will emit one long, soul-searing scream.
It's engaging you to experience and to delve into this world that is beyond yours.
Leap clear across that steel arena.
So that's really what the sideshow was all about, just presenting images to people.
Catch that bird between those 2 massive jaws. Bite off the head with those long and tusky teeth. And ladies and gentlemen, proceed to devour and suck every drop of blood from that bleeding, throbbing quiver.
You know, in the Midwest, they would get up and work the farm every day of their lives, and at harvest time they have a little extra money in the pocket and they're going to have fun. They're going to the carnival.
There's a talent to organizing words in the way of a good pitch that an excellent pitcherman has.
Brooks McNamara, professor of performing arts, New York University.
And it really doesn't have so much to do with logic as with a kind of eloquence and flamboyance in terms of speaking. I once wrote an article called Talking about selling an audience, done through one man, Doc Bloodgood, who's now dead. Bloodgood said, never use one word when four words will do.
There, ladies and gentlemen, there he sits, slowly wasting away, slowly becoming atrophied, slowly becoming petrified, slowly becoming mummified, and slowly turning to stone.
Well, a good talker never gives his audience time to think. He simply moves from one thing to another so rapidly that he confuses them, he distracts them, and he convinces them to buy his product.
Bring out all the strange, the freaks, the cure. Watch this. It's going to be all free. Watch the dollar. Watch the dollar bill. We're going to whirl you away into the land of mirth, magic, and mystery. Legerdemain, sleight of hand, and capable, press the digitation, where these self-same praises were done by Hindu fakers in the streets of Baghdad.
They were selling an idea, an illusion. Amazing people, flamboyant people. And the truth of the matter is that it isn't as exotic and mysterious as they make it out to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything you see pictured on that side and everything you see pictured on that side, you will see inside positively alive and just as advertised. I could tell you about Lola, the leopard skin girl, but here's the one I want to call to your attention. Kokomo, the mule faced boy. The lower jaws, the protruding teeth that look and resemble that of a mule. The most fantastic mutation ever to be presented to the public.
P.T. Barnum said that people like to be fooled, and I think that's true. Part of the fun of a carnival is actually being fooled, being taken. Consequently, carnival people, I think, tend to do what's expected of them and to do it in a flamboyant way.
Your imagination creates, you know, you see those banners and you hear this pitch and you build it up. You know, maybe the final thing is a letdown and maybe it isn't.
Sword swallower and former pitchman, Fred Call.
Oh, I love Bally's. That's my favorite part. I like that better than doing an act. Because it's really interesting to watch the crowd. It's all about timing. It's all about knowing whether you want to turn them really fast because they're about to lose interest. With the Bally, you get everybody in close to the stage and you would say, we're going to drop the price. You see, the normal admission to go in and see this fine show, 10 acts and attractions, it's $3 for the adults and $2 for the kids. But for the next 3 minutes and 3 minutes only, we're going to drop it down to just, you know, a dollar. So anybody who wants to go in now, all you got to do is take your dollar bills and follow her right over there to the cashier because it's showtime on the inside. And so she leads everybody in with a dollar. And then you have to keep like building interest because new people are walking up and they're like, what's this line about? So you say, like, as long as there's a line going in, everybody goes in for a dollar. When the line is up, the price goes up. So go in now. And you create this like impending feeling of like people have to act now to save money. You go now, you save money. Simple as that.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you gather down as close as you possibly can, Hubert's Museum proudly presents none other than Professor Heckler's Trained Flea Circus. In this enclosure, you
like a lot of my talking style comes pretty much out of Bobby Reynolds. Bobby had a real, like, New Yorker, like, fast-talking.
Operate a miniature merry-go-round. Tiny little fleas hitched to a chariot.
I really learned the art of what it's about from Bobby Reynolds.
Magician Todd Robbins.
He's the greatest talker. Bobby's a very, very interesting man. He's a real showman. He's a real old-style showman. Simple as that.
But the most predominating feature of the entire show is little fleas dressed in costume, and they dance to the strains of music.
It is without a doubt the most fascinating sight the human eye has ever witnessed. Now, there is a small admission. We don't apologize for it. It's only 9 cents. Fleas that juggle, jump through hoops, play football, operate a merry, and then now you all go in, and how many you want, and then I grab the money, and that was it. That's how we did it.
Veteran showman Bobby Reynolds.
Good entertainers are born, just like great showmen like myself are born. There are very few of us left, you know. I do oral packaging. I make it sound so intriguing. Wouldn't you like to see a flea that juggled, jumped through hoops, play football, operate a miniature, little fleas dressed in costume, dancing to the strain? Well, then give me 9 cents and go in. You know, you sell. Selling is the whole thing. The highest paid people in the world are salesmen. And if you can do it with a little more flair and a little more... What do you think television is? That's all selling.
We're acting very quickly on this, John, as I believe that there were just, there weren't many of
them. Yeah, there's a limited number of
them. You can bake in these because the handles are removable.
We cut the price.
It has the colander, it has the slicing blades, the cutting board.
Everything about this collection says, you know, purchase me.
Sideshow culture, you'll have to go to the Smithsonian, look it up. That's what's going to happen to it. There's nobody left like me. Not that the public don't want it. The public really wants it, but the fairs, you know, the fairs we work, well, they're so politically correct. They don't want any sideshows as a rule. You know, they don't want this, they don't want that, they don't want this. And all you're going to have out there is noisy rides, somebody hustling you for a teddy bear, and fun houses that are not so damn funny. That's it. The oral poets, people of my ilk, I like that word, ilk, are not going to be there.
The late Doc Bloodgood, carnival talker.
The day I finished high school, let's see, would have been in 1928. The very next day, I hitchhiked to the nearest circus. And there occurred the most exciting, adventuresome years that a youth could ever have. What I wouldn't give to live this over again, you know. Most people get tired of it. I never did. It was just one continual. I hated to go to bed at night because it was such a wonderful thing. Well, I just thought to be able to stand on that platform in front of a long, long line of pictorial paintings, meanwhile extolling the benefits to be derived by actually witnessing that Congress of freaks and curiosities and monstrosities. Surely that'd be the greatest occupation a man could ever have. And now, as I used to say on the medicine show, thank you one and all for your kind, courteous, and undivided attention. Wishing you a safe return to your respective homes and destinations, and a very, very fine good night.
Yeah. The Vanishing Art of the Carnival Talker was produced by Jay Allison and Rachel Day as part of our year-long series, Lost and Found Sound.
A panorama of beauty and splendor. As it unfolds before your eyes, it dazzles the imagination.
So that's the way it was.